Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm curious, what's the difference between the Yuga Dharma of chanting the holy names in previous Kali Yugas to chanting of the holy names in the Kali Yuga in which Lord Chaitanya inaugurated it?
Wonderful question. Thank you for bringing that up. Yuga Dharma in the other 999,000 999 out of 1,000 Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma, the Yuga Dharma of chanting the holy name awards an Aishwarya Prem, love for the Lord of Vaikuntha in a destination on one of his Vaikuntha planets. It does not have the potential to grant elevation to Goloka Vrindavan. I mean, it can by the Lord's mercy because he's independent, but inherently, no Yuga Dharma, even the chanting of the holy name as Yuga Dharma, will grant us the destination of Goloka Vrindavan, the destination is Vaikuntha, to worship the Lord in awe and veneration. And that's why Brahma Vimohan Leela. You know, it's similar to the Anartas who came as demons to be killed by Krishna or Balaram. But Brahma Vimohan Leela doesn't involve the demon, it was Brahma. But it does involve an Anarta, which is considering the Lord's Aishwarya feature to be superior to his Madhurya. Because even when Krishna appeared in this world, and you know, everybody saw him, or did they? They saw his reflection. Kamsa Jarasandha, they saw Krishna, but it was mere reflection. But Brahma Vimohan Leela, it illustrates an anartha of considering that the Lord's Aishwarya feature is superior to his Madhurya. And even Vaishnavas at the time of Lord Krishna, they thought that he's an avatar of Kiradakshaya Vishnu, which he is in one sense. And it's explained in the Bhagavatam that Krishna and Balaram are incarnations coming through Kiradakshaya Vishnu. But after listing all the avatars, the conclusion was that all these incarnations are expansions of the Lord, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So even though Krishna comes as an expansion of Kiradakshaya Vishnu, he is yet the source of Kiradakshaya Vishnu. What to speak of the source of Narayan, which was Brahma's bewilderment. When he saw the little gopas and calves turned into forearm forms with Kastubha Mani, because Brahma was wondering, is Krishna, is he some form of my father Narayan? And the whole, his whole test by stealing the gopas and calves was to see. And in the pastime, he saw that, no, Krishna is not another form of, he's not an avatar. He's the source of Lord Narayan, Karnadakshaya. Krishna's the source. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So therefore, when Krishna comes as a Yuga avatar, which he does in a golden form in every Kali Yuga, to bestow the Yuga Dharma, the only destination you can achieve through that practice is Vaikuntha. And we're not minimizing achieving Vaikuntha. It's an exalted destination for qualified souls at any time. But it pales in comparison to the possibility of achieving birth as a blade of grass or a speck of dust in Goloka, for which Brahma prayed. He prayed, let me take birth as a blade of grass in Braj. He thought, that's too arrogant. Let me take birth just outside of Braj, so the pilgrims coming and going will dust me with the Chintamani from their feet, which they pick up in the Dham. So anyway, Brahma Vimohan Lila is a warning, amongst other things. If you think the Lord's Aishwarya is superior to his Madhurya, and you end up in Vaikuntha, you have no access to Braja, except as Gopa Kumar did, coming back to earth, starting over again. So it's a great obstacle to get lost in Vaikuntha. Don't get distracted. Stay focused on the Madhurya contained in the Mahamantra in Sarva Dhamma Pratyaja Mami Kama Sharanam Braja. Go to Braja. Okay?
So was it a different mantra that was given in the other Kali Yugas? Or is it the Hare Krishna Mahamantra?
Hare Krishna Mantra, but with a different kind of potency.
Yeah, because you were saying that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is like the essence of Radha and Krishna's love for each other. The
well, it also... yeah, it is.
But how can that take one to Vaikuntha? It doesn't seem to...
Well, because the Hare Krishna, you know, one of the glories of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is it accommodates all devotees and whoever their Ishtadev is, whatever their desired destination may be, it accommodates all those. Because Lord Narayan is also Krishna, Dwarkadish is also Krishna. But they're avatars, they're not the avatari. They're not the son of Nanda Maharaj. So, the Mahamantra has a, you know, it has an Aishwarya feature that could take us to Vaikuntha if we consider Hare Krishna to be Lakshmi Narayan. Which is exactly what we're doing in Vaidhi Bhakti. We're worshipping deities of Radha and Krishna in the mood of serving Lakshmi Narayan. Because there again, Vaidhi Bhakti will not take us to Golok. It will not take us to Goloka Vrindavan. Vaidhi Bhakti, which has chanting Hare Krishna as its essence, will not take you to Goloka Vrindavan. It'll take you to Vaikuntha. Not to minimize Vaidhi Bhakti. We have to follow the rules and regulations to become purified. And we need to understand also that the Vaidhi Bhakti, which we practice in serving Lakshmi Narayan, even in the form of Radha and Krishna, the Vaidhi Bhakti disseminated by the six Goswamis has Raghunuga at his heart. And Lord Nityananda explained it very simply, yet succinctly, to Jiva Goswami on Navadvip Dhamparikrama, that in the material world, and even in Vaikuntha, there's only two rasas in which we can serve. And one is not desirable, shanta, that's passive adoration, not cherished by devotees. So really, there's only one rasa. Well, we'll say two to accommodate the trees and others, Shantaras. Mahaprabhu can only be worshipped in Shanta and Dasiras. And why is that? Because the very name Mahaprabhu means Aishwarya, which means Vaidya Bhakti, which means you only have two mellows, Shanta and Dasyaras. That's as far as you can go in Vaidya Bhakti. Our Vaidya Bhakti is unique because it has Raghunug at his heart. So when we worship Mahaprabhu by Vaidya Bhakti in Shanta and Dasyaras, subtly, imperceptibly, gradually, the Raghunug within the heart of that Vaidya Bhakti is growing. And when it takes prominence, there again, Prabodhananda Saraswati has described it so eloquently. When our worship of Mahaprabhu is perfected by Vaidya Bhakti, then at some point, the luster of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet illumines our hearts and reveals Vrindavan, or you could translate it, takes us to Vrindavan. And yet even, because what does Raghunuga mean? It means following in the footsteps of those who have that raga, that love, which is the Brijabhasis. So when we're worshipping Lord Gauranga as a Yuga avatar through Vaidya Bhakti by chanting the holy name, there's an inner dynamic. He is Radha and Krishna combined, but they can't be approached in Vaidya Bhakti. So we worship him as the Yuga avatar, and that's what the name Mahaprabhu means. The Aishwarya Yuga avatar. We worship by the Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy name, which takes us to Vaikuntha. Except in that rare and special blessed Kali Yuga, the one current, when the Yuga avatar, he's not the Yuga avatar, he's Yuga avatar is within him. When the son of Nanda Maharaj takes up the work of the Yuga avatar, what he gives is distinct. But we can't approach that Raghunuga until we become purified. Therefore, we practice Vaidya Bhakti, worshipping Mahaprabhu in Shanta and Dasyaras. Why no higher? Because after Dasyaras comes Sakyaras, which means equality. Well, who can become equal to Krishna? What to speak of Vatsalya, parent to the Lord when you're in a superior position? What to speak of Madhurya, where his lovers just bewilder him? I mean, how can such a mood be possible that we're equal to the Lord as friend, superior to him as parent, or control him in Madhurya? How are these moods possible? When the Lord allows them, by his yoga maya. Because to be friend, parent, or lover, you have to become equal or greater to the Lord, which is not possible. But when he wants to come down to act as your friend, child, or lover, by the and he explains it right in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yoga maya will bewilder both me and the devotees to think we have these relationships. It's possible through yoga maya, which is emotions of the internal potency coming through. It's not of this world. So the other 999 out of 1,000 Kali Yugas, it's the same Vaidya Bhakti, chanting the holy name, worshipping the Lord as Mahaprabhu. But that Mahaprabhu is not the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Nurturing the Raghunuga within the heart of our Vaidhi until the day our Vaidhi is perfected and Mahaprabhu of Nadia reveals his alternate feature as Radha and Krishna of Braja and they take us home to there. I hope that answered.
Yeah. So it's the compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani within Lord Chaitanya
that
illuminates
Vrindavan
for the Vaidhi Bhakta and brings them to Raghunath.
And that nurturing, divine, maternal affection, granting something that the Aishwarya cannot deliver. Anything else? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for your blissful darshan and such sweet enlivening class. I have been really longing to see you. And thank you so much for that. Maharaj, I do have a question about how do I chant to please Krishna? Is there anything I should think while chanting? Or else, like, how do I try to please Krishna while chanting?
By submissive oral reception, which means focusing on the sound of the holy name. And everything is contained therein. Because, there again, syllables of the holy name are available anywhere and everywhere. The divine, sublime, spiritual energy, living, breathing, resounding, working through the holy name, has to be received in parampara. And it's received by submissive oral reception, which means you open your heart in surrender and invite the Lord. Because, you know, we say Maha Mantra is not a mantra, because a mantra is a combination, bija, nam, and supplication afterwards. So when we chant and there's two Maha Mantras, there's Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there's Panchatattva Maha Mantra. But before we approach either one, and we approach the Maha Mantra through the Panchatattva Mantra because that clears offenses, we can't approach the Panchatattva Mantra directly, and that's why we have invocation mantras to Guru and Guru Parampara, invoking their blessings and grace to proceed to the Panchatattva Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So our focus and our thought should simply be attentive hearing. Now, it may be a little misleading, because every morning when we recite the 10 offenses, and then we add, it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Well, really, that's the root of all the offenses. But it's not included amongst the initial list of offenses, because, you know, normal devotees just understand that attentiveness is the prime element, and therefore inattentiveness is the root of all distractions, anarthas, and impediments in our chanting. Therefore, attention to the sound of the holy name. Because if you maintain that focus, then as the sound of the holy name resounds in your heart, the form of the Lord will take birth in your meditation. And then his pastimes, associates, entourage, paraphernalia, all follow suit. So everything comes from attention to the divine sound of the holy name. And then you wonder, well, you know, why is it when I'm focusing attentively on hearing the holy name, these pastimes start arising in my consciousness? Because that's what the holy name does. Don't do it the other way around, meditating on the pastimes. I mean, you can meditate on the pastimes, but keep your attention to the sound of the holy name foremost, because that will awaken all the pastimes. Rasa Lila, Radha Kund, Govardhan, everything will appear in your heart if you're attentive to the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra.
Thank you. Maharaj, will my heart open up in the mood of surrender by continuously hearing to the holy name, or else is there any other process?
We open the heart by, you know, surrender, submission, contrition. We open the heart to invite the holy name within, and when the holy name takes root, it opens the heart like a lotus blossoms to reveal the whole spiritual world.
How do I surrender, Maharaj?
Well, the first question is, what do we have to surrender? You know, back in, what was it, 66, I guess, in Kirtananda Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, should I surrender everything now? And he said, well, what do you have to surrender? That's a good question. And what's the real answer? Our false ego. Why, you know, in the deliverance of Kaliya, actually after the deliverance of Kaliya, when the Nagapatnis were so eager to reward Krishna with the best gift they had in their treasury, out of gratitude, because, you know, the Nagapatnis were devotees, and they were disgusted with Kaliya because he was such a rascal. But then, after Krishna danced on his hooves long enough, and they saw, he's repentant, he's contrite, he's submissive, he's surrendered. Then they prayed to Krishna, don't kill him, deliver him, and he did. And they were so grateful, they went to the treasury to get their best jewels to offer to Krishna, and they found something they didn't even know what was there. It's called a Kastuba jewel. Because Krishna didn't have his Kastuba jewel since the time he left Kamsa's prison, because if he showed up in Mother Jashoda's crib with a Kastuba jewel, a lot of trouble developing intimate parental love for him. So Yogamaya hid it. But the Dagapatis didn't see it that whole time until they went to look for their best jewel, and there it was, the Kastuba they offered to Krishna. Anyway, what's the symbology here? Rupa Goswami says you're supposed to offer your most precious, cherished possession to Krishna as a gesture of love. Then the question is, what is our most cherished possession? It's our false ego. And when you surrender that to Krishna, you'll find the jewel of your true, real, friendly ego, which is servant of the servant of the servant, which attracts Krishna irresistibly. We were discussing yesterday, you know, that simple, short pastime when a pure-hearted brahmana came to Mother Sachi's house, offered betel to Nimai. He honored it because it was Mahaprasad. Fell silent, dropped to the floor. No, first he said, I'm going home now. And he fell silent, dropped to the floor, unconscious, no life symptoms. Mother Sachi dropped Ganges water in his mouth. His illumination brightened the whole house. This is Muraragupta speaking to Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit asked, what did he mean by that? I'm going home now. Muraragupta said, I don't know. How could you ask me about the Lord? Everything he does is so infinite and inconceivable. But I'll offer a suggestion, and if you find it reasonable, consider it. The Lord is irresistibly drawn to enter the hearts of his pure devotees when they're sincerely and attentively chanting his holy name. He's drawn to enter their hearts and perform his pastimes there. And one of the reasons he does that is because he cherishes a position of subservience to his servants. So he reveals his lila, his potency, his love, his grace in his devotees so that we'll worship them, because that's the most pleasing way to worship him. So when you surrender the false ego, you discover your true ego. Ego just means identity. false ego is I'm enjoyer and controller. True false enemy ego. True friendly ego, I'm servant of the servant of the servant. And that's my treasure. And that attitude is irresistibly attractive to the Lord. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, there is a verse that you should string on the thread of the holy name and wear it around your neck. And, you know, people read Shastra and they see that, oh, at some point you have to get your Siddha Pranali mantra so you know who you are and how you dress and what you do and your name in Golok. And they get in all kinds of trouble because of that. Would you like to know your Siddha Pranali mantra? Trinada Pisanichena, Tarala Pisahishnina, Manida Manadena, Kirtaniya Sarari. Everything else will come from that. So that's the mood of the true ego. Our aspiration is to become a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath. And that speck of dust is so loving and so loved by the Lord that there is no higher achievement possible.
No what?
No higher achievement is possible than become that. Because servant of the servant of the servant. And, you know, Rupa Goswami describes blessings of Radha Kund. Is her waters infuse the heart with a devotion in following in the wake of Sakis and Manjaris. Well, what is the mood of the Manjaris? That's the epitome of servant of the servant of the servant to such an extent they don't want to even associate with Krishna with the exception of Ananga Manjari. They will if that's Radha's desire. They're exclusively devoted to her, which sounds like partiality, but it's not. They know that that's the best way to please Krishna. It's the key to his heart. Selfless. Innocent. Servant of the devotees of the servant is the quality that's irresistibly attractive to Krishna and draws him into our hearts where he reveals his Rupa, Rupa Madhurya, followed by his paraphernalia, associates, and pastime. It all unfolds like a lotus within the heart of the devotees. And he likes it that way because then people worship his devotees more than him. And that pleases him all the more. But they worship his devotees because they see him in their hearts. And this apparent partiality in service to Radha is apparent. It's not actual partiality. It's the understanding that pleasing Radha is most delightful to Krishna. Because we're insignificant jivas. How much love can we offer to Krishna? And how much of his love can we assimilate and reciprocate? It's all insignificant. Until we align ourselves with the servants of the servants of the servants, who are all assisting Srimati Radharani in her service to Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada said it in that beautiful Radhastami lecture, don't offer a flower to Krishna. Well, that's strange, isn't it? Place it in the hands of Srimati Radharani. She'll offer it to Krishna on your behalf, and he'll say, oh, you have brought me a flower? Patram pushpam palam toyam? And she said, it's from that devotee. Please accept, because he's better than me. And then Krishna has to accept, because he's controlled by her love. So that's the fruit of the Siddha Pranali mantra. And in that mood, we can chant constantly. Because the reciprocation with the holy name will be so irresistibly sweet. And when it gets sour, then consider what material desires or offenses have arisen in my heart. And if you can rule that out and you're still not tasting the reciprocation, consider what Krishna told the gopis when he left them in the heat of Rasa Lila. He just left them. They surrendered everything. Because leaving home to go to the forest meant they weren't going to be allowed back by social convention. And they didn't know all the other gopis were there. All that each one knew is that she was going to be abandoned, forsaken, rejected, outcast to the forest. But for Krishna's pleasure, they made that sacrifice. And by his yoga maya, everybody forgot and welcomed them back. But they asked that question. Why? After we surrendered everything for your pleasure, you just left us alone in the forest. And what did he say? To condense it all to a nutshell, basically what he said is, when you experience that kind of neglect, that lack of reciprocation, if you can rule out offenses and anartas, the result is that Krishna may appear distant at times to increase our love. And he himself gave the analogy. A poor man who acquires a huge treasure and then he loses it all and he can't think of anything else. So he said, I bestow my grace as your treasure. And then you lose it. And then what? You can't think of anything else. And that brings it back with interest. So the apparent lack of reciprocation can be Krishna's supreme reciprocation. But you have to rule out first. Is it offenses or material desires on my part? Or is it Krishna just receding to increase my hankering and love? Okay.
Thank you so much,
Maharaj.
Very, very
helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to hear the glorification of the holy name. And the way you presented it is just like so touching. And we had this whole weekend of Harinam and Kirtan, and it just like you just brought out everything so beautifully. So I'm extremely grateful to you, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Extremely grateful to you. Thank you.
Maharaj, my question is, in the starting part, you were explaining how, say, Hare Krishna and the Ram there could refer to Balram or Gaudiya. That's more of Radha Raman, because that's yesterday. So my question is, why chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? How are we worshipping Nityananda Balram? Like, I understand that he is the one who gives us through the Guru, but while chanting the word Hare Krishna and Rama, if our mood of Rama is worshipping Radha Raman, how are we worshipping Nityananda Balram through the chanting?
Well, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has explained that in his songs, that without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we can achieve Lord Chaitanya, we cannot achieve Radha Krishna, we cannot achieve Rasa Lila. That's the negative. Conversely, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we can achieve shelter of Lord Gauranga, entrance into Vrindavan, and participation in Rasa Lila. So, the secret is that Balaram can only deliver Krishna. We have no access to Radha and Krishna through Balaram. When Radha and Krishna become Lord Gauranga, and Balaram is influenced by the mood of his beloved, Lord Gauranga is Krishna in the mood of Radha. Lord Nityananda is Balaram, oftentimes in the mood of his beloved Ananda Manjari. So Lord Nityananda is our only approach. I mean, of course, Guru, from Guru, we're connected with Lord Nityananda. He's our only approach to Lord Gauranga, our only access to Radha and Krishna. So, Balaram, as Lord Nityananda, is essential in our approach to the Holy Name. And his influence is there in the Hare Ram. But it's, you know, Krishna reciprocates with our intention. And if your intention is inclusive, you know, we want the shelter of Lord Nityananda, we want Radha and Krishna, Radha Raman, it's all there in the Holy Name. And, you know, your sankalpa that you make on any one day, it doesn't have to be the same every day, eternally. Your sankalpa can vary according to what you see is the need of the day. And when we're faced with that realization that the mercy of Lord Nityananda is absolutely essential, it's there in the Hare Ram. It's Radha Raman is also there in the Hare Ram. It's all there, but according to our need and our intention, Krishna will reciprocate through the Holy Name accordingly and provide all that we lack, preserve what we have and provide what we lack, assuring we're always moving forward, never turning back. And if anyone wants the darshan of the plow, it's right here. Because, reason I said that, Jesus, at the end of a long day of preaching and encountering a lot of aspiring disciples who were all distracted with so many worldly affairs they had to complete. So finally, he gave the analogy. Put your hand to the plow and don't turn back. Which means focus, you know, commitment, and determination. That's the plow. It's one of the numerous illustrations from the plow, which is right here if anybody wants to see them. Anyway, our sankalpa. And we should have a sankalpa at all times, and it can change. Yeah, you say your sankalpa is, I want to experience the mercy of Lord Nityananda in the Holy Name, and you will. And then when that's internalized, it'll lead to other realizations, which will guide you to other sankalpas. But it's an important thing to have a sankalpa. It express your intention and align it in your sadhana with your sadhya, and that'll really activate your sadhana. But it can change according to the need. And when the need is the mercy of Lord Nityananda, it's all there in the Hare Ram.
Thank you so much.
Beautifully formulated, this Maha Mantra, to incorporate the needs and desires of all aspirants.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A quick question. A follow-up. I was wondering, I noticed that there's two different types of chanting, at least for me. There's the mental, like hearing it just here, and then there's the one that's hearing it here. And when you're saying, you were talking about welcoming the Holy Name, you know, inside, is it welcoming, like, what did you mean by it? Because I'm
Inviting.
Inviting, yeah, inviting. Is it here, or is it here, or is there a difference? There is actually a difference between the chanting just, you know, here and then here and versus...
It's all the difference in the world. The longest journey is the one from the head to the heart. But you know, it begins with the ear. But if it's all in your head, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. The idea is to... First of all, we discussed this yesterday. We have to offer the Holy Name an invitation. Holy name is Krishna. He's a gentleman. He's ever seeking a heart that's open to receive him, but he's not going to force his way in. Where's an invitation? And, you know, the beautiful example of an invitation is there in the Bible. You mentioned it yesterday briefly. The day of the crucifixion. And two apostles walking on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, because everything seemed to be over in Jerusalem, back to Emmaus. Two disciples walking aimlessly, eyes downcast, countenance depressed, exchanging a few words that just vanished in the air, and you know, real communication, exchange, connection. Just lost souls. And then there's a third person, just appeared out of nowhere. And he listened and he asked them, what is troubling you? And they responded, you don't even know. You must be the only one in Jerusalem who's not aware of what happened yesterday. Jesus of Nazareth, powerful in conviction and empowerment, the one who gives our lives meaning, who revealed a whole other world behind the thin veil of illusion, a world where, you know, what we see as obstacles became opportunities. He brought life and vibrancy to every detail of our lives. Now he's gone, crucified by our own religious leaders. Everything's finished. We're returning to our house, but it's no longer a home because we're lost. And then he said something shocking. Oh, fools, so slow to believe. Now, those are harsh words. They're also powerful in tearing off blindfolds and the illusions that anchor our lives. Oh, fools. The third person was Jesus, but they didn't know it yet. So he... And that's why he can call them fools, because Srila Prabhupada used that term too. But when somebody has that much compassion and love, you can use terms like that. If you don't have that realization, don't use it. Maybe for yourself, but not anybody else. I mean myself, not yourself. And then he began to narrate to them the entire Old Testament in synopsis and the first part of the New Testament. They knew the scripture, these two, Cleopas and his friend is not named. They knew the scripture, but they never heard it told like this. It was coming to life in the narration, and they could see things in an entirely different perspective as the stranger narrated the scripture on the road to Emmaus. He brought it to life. The magic was in the storyteller, because he was revealing that actually every verse from Genesis to the present was really about him, the Messiah. So then they're, you know, by the time they reached their house, they were completely enlivened and enlightened and enthused. And when they walked into the house, they didn't stop to think to invite the stranger. They just assumed he would come with them, but he didn't. He kept walking down the road. And they had to call out to him, come back. It's late. It'll be getting dark. It's dangerous. Please spend the night with us. What's the point here? The absolute truth is ever seeking a heart who is open to receive him. And he won't force his way in without an invitation. When they extended the invitation, he came in. And then when he took the bread and lifted it and broke it as an offering, which became the Eucharist, their eyes were open and they understood, that's him. And immediately he was gone. They ran back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples and were surprised to find out that he'd all appeared to them in Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon all of them. Anyway, it's a meaningful, and Srila Prabhupada told stories and verses from the scriptures, so there is revelation there along with other things. But the purport is you have to extend an invitation to the Lord to enter your heart. And it's scary. There's things in our heart we don't even want to see ourselves with this. Somebody else see them. But that's where the humility and the trinatapi sinicena comes in essential. To invite him in regardless, because he'll clean up the mess. Just like Gundicha, after a year, after 50 weeks vacant, it's messy. The Lord Gauranga leads the cleaning party. Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punyashravanam Kirtanaha Vidantasto Hribadhani Virunoti Saritatam. And when the Paramatma becomes enlivened by hearing the holy name and pastimes, he himself initiates the cleansing of Gundicha in our own hearts, making it so clean, soothing, cooling, refreshing that the Lord will be attracted to enter and take his seat on the throne of our hearts. It requires an invitation. And what's the invitation? You know, if the Hare Krishna mantra is the summum bonum, the invitation is the invocation, the prayers to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, begging their blessings and grace to come upon us so that our invitation will be appealing to the Lord. And I'll accept, because on our own merit, we're not worthy. So the invitation is prayer. Of course, it's there in the Mahamantra. It's a prayer to, you know, come to me. But there again, we can't approach the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mantra, directly. We approach the Panchatattva Mahamantra. We approach that Mahamantra through the invocation prayers. Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. That's the invitation. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the very revitalizing lecture.
Thank you.
I had a question, or rather, I was wondering if you could clarify the point that you had made that at the heart of our Vaidhi is Raganuga, since based on what Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, that in order to get Raganuga Bhakti, we need to develop greed, lobha, which only comes through the mercy of Raganuga sadhus. So could you please clarify how, for people like me who have no mercy from Raganuga sadhus, that how does that statement sort of make sense?
It's that same, you know, it's such a deep and vast topic, but Lord Nityananda really condensed it into very simple terms for Jiva Goswami. And you know, this is long after Lord Gauranga has left the world, and as soon as he did, Lord Nityananda just became like, he was like Balaram after he was born before Krishna, that it's like, Jad Bharat, you know, just or Radha until she met, just unresponsive to anything. So Lord Nityananda was like that until he heard that Jiva Goswami reached Navadvip, and then he got all enlivened and activated, danced there to lead him on parikrama. And that's when he explained that there's only two rasas available in this world, but to speak of this world, Vaikuntha. There's only two rasas. Shanta and Das. We can say, well, Krishna's got his queens, servants. Dasi ras, maybe half of Sakya, but no more. Even that's an Aishwarya Sakya, so it doesn't really count. So, all we can do in conditioned life is worship the Lord in Vaidhi Bhakti. And if we are serving deities of Radha and Krishna, our mood is their Lakshmi Narayan, we're serving in awe and reverence. The Raganuga part comes in that one rare, precious, special Kali Yuga in a thousand, when the Lord we address is Mahaprabhu, which means Aishwarya, the great master. That's Aishwarya, Yuga Avatar. By worshiping him. In Vaidhi Bhakti, in the mood of Shanta and Dasya. What we're really doing is worshiping Radha and Krishna. But we're not, we have no access, we have no qualification as of yet. Because only in this Kali Yuga, not the other 999, the Lord is Radha and Krishna combined. And we know that theologically. And we hold that sacrament high above our heads and don't approach it indiscriminately. Focus on Vaidhi. And that Raganuga means, as Rupa Goswami explains, you're becoming attracted to one resident of Vrindavan and adopting his or her mood. And, you know, that's all revealed in your Siddha Pranali mantra, but that comes when you're qualified. So because we're actually worshipping Radha and Krishna, but our mood is Vaidhi, to be respectful to them and qualify for that raga, and begging it from the ones who have it, who are associates of Radha and Krishna, then their grace, the grace of those Raganugas, those Premi Bhaktis, those who have the rag, who's we're following, it starts to come through as our Vaidhi matures and our taste awakens and our lolyam expands. Then everything starts to align to that precious opportunity. Once again, Prabodhananda Saraswati. When our worship of Mahaprabhu reaches maturity, then Nimaya of Nadia reveals his alternate feature as Radha and Krishna Vrindavan, and they take us there. Or the other way he says it, you know, his Sanskrit is so profound, you can interpret from so many angles. When our Vaidhi matures, then the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani blossom like a lotus within our hearts and dispel all the Aishwarya. That's a paraphrase. Take a stupid dhava. So it's all there in the Vaidhi. Has Raghunuga at his heart. So we're attracting the blessings of those Ragatmaka Bhaktas in our Vaidhi, even though we have no qualification, but we're gaining it by dint of our Vaidhi Bhakti. And our, you know, it's not like there's no relation between Madhurya and Aishwarya. Madhurya, which eclipses Krishna's majesty and splendor and releases us from all bondage to rules and regulations, that's not independent. That Madhurya, that Raganuga, or, you know, the other way you can say it, you know, the Brijabhasis, they're not aware that Krishna's God. Even if they're not aware, if they are aware at times when the Aishwarya comes through, they don't really care. So that's a level of Krishna consciousness beyond awareness that Krishna's God. So it's a super Krishna consciousness. But it's only approachable through Vaidhi. Otherwise, what you have is sahaja, which is most displeasing to the Lord and a disturbance to everyone, ourselves, society, the Lord himself. So we cherish, we relish, we adore the Vaidhi Bhakti. And in the back of our minds, we're yearning in greed for that day when the blessings come through from the Ragatmikas and matures in that Raghunuga. So their blessings will come by dint of our Vaidhi Bhakti. Thank you. Thank you all very much for joining us in our simple forest kunj. Don't get too many human visitors these days. It's such an honor. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Ma. She's waiting for anyone who wants darshan, come with us.
I forgot to say to those who do not have yet Maharaja's book, appreciating you, Vrindavan Dham. We have a few of them available. They are $15, and Maharaj can sign if you would like to have a sign.
And anyone who wants to come for darshan, follow me.
I mean, it's like, I think I downloaded maybe like 1%, but I think that...
Me too. But I got the important instructions to follow.
Yeah, yeah. Like whatever stuck out, I think that will last, but...
Nice.
This is very rarely, right?
Yeah.
But that's why he gives all his time, like he gives...
Yeah. We didn't forget him, we'll see.
Yeah. He said he was missing a class. He has a class that he has online?
No, yesterday. We
I thought that was the day before yesterday.
We had one. Yesterday we celebrated Father's Day. Only the disciples.
Oh.
So he spoke about the same subject.
Oh, same subject.
Yeah.
How many disciples came?
Not many.